The Three Sisters by Anton Chekhov, written in 1900 and first performed at the Moscow Art Theater in 1901. Act 1. We are in the Prozorov house on a bright sunny day in May. At the front of the stage, we see the Prozorov sitting room. Pillars create an upstage border, beyond which servants are setting a long table for a meal. Olga, wearing the dark blue uniform of a high school teacher, is standing and periodically pacing while correcting her students' exercise books. Masha, wearing a black dress, her hat on her knee, is reading a book. Irina, wearing white, is standing, plunged in thought.
Papa died a year ago today, the 5th of May. Your saint's day, Irina. It was so cold, snow. I felt I wouldn't live through it. You lay so still, as if you were dead. But a year has passed, and we can think of it calmly now. You're wearing your white dress, your face is shining.
A china clock on the mantelpiece strikes 12.
The clock struck then, too. I remember when they carried Papa to his grave. Music playing. They fired a salute at the cemetery. He was a general, in command of a brigade. There weren't many people there, but it was raining, heavy rain, and then snow.
Why think of this now?
Baron Tusenbach, a lieutenant in the local brigade, Chepotikin, an army doctor, and Salioni, a captain, with various other members of the local brigade, enter and congregate upstage by the table in the dining room.
It's warm today. We can have the windows open, but the birches are still bare. 11 years ago, Father was given a brigade here, and we left Moscow. I distinctly remember that in Moscow, at the beginning of May, everything was in bloom. It was warm, everything bathed in sunshine. 11 years, and I remember like yesterday. Oh, my. I woke up this morning, light pouring in, spring, my whole soul filled with happiness, and I wanted passionately to go back home. Don't whistle, Masha, how can you? Being at school all day and then correcting lessons till evening gives me headaches and thoughts as gloomy as if I were already old. And really, the 4 years that I've been teaching at the high school, I've been feeling my strength and my youth leaving me, drop by drop, all day, every day. Only one desire grows.
To go home. To sell this house. To end everything here and be back in Moscow.
Yes, soon. To Moscow.
Andrei will become a professor. He won't want to live here. But what about poor Masha?
Masha will come every summer.
Masha whistles softly.
God willing, it'll all work out.
Irina looks out the window.
Beautiful weather today. I don't know why my soul feels so light. This morning I remembered it was my saint's day, and suddenly I was joyful. I thought of my childhood when Mama was alive, and I was thrilled by wonderful memories. Such memories!
You are radiant today, and Masha looks lovely too. Andre would be nice looking, but he's gotten fat, and it doesn't suit him. And I'm aging and getting skinny, probably because I get so cross with the girls at school. Today, I'm free. At home, and I don't have a headache. I feel younger than yesterday. I'm 28, all good, all from God. But if I were married and at home all day, it would be better. I would love my husband.
Vasily Vasilievich, you talk such nonsense. I'm tired of listening to you.
Baron Tusenbach comes into the sitting room and sits at the piano, playing softly.
Olga Sergeyevna, I forgot to tell you, you will receive a visit today from Vershinin, our new battery commander.
Oh, fine. Very glad.
Is he old?
No, not particularly. 40, 45 at the most. He seems to be a nice fellow. He's definitely not stupid. He talks a lot.
Is he interesting?
Yes, he's all right. He has a wife, a mother-in-law, and two little girls. It's his second marriage. He's paying visits and telling everyone that he's got a wife and two little girls. He'll tell you, too. His wife's a bit crazy. She wears her hair in a long braid like a young girl, speaks always in abstractions, and frequently attempts suicide, evidently to get her husband's attention. I would have left her years ago, but he puts up with her and only complains.
Captain Salioni comes into the sitting room with Chepotikin, the doctor, who is reading a newspaper as he walks.
With one hand, I can lift 50 pounds, but with two hands, I can lift 200 or even 250 pounds. From that, I conclude that two men are not only twice, but three times as strong as one man or more.
Her hair falling out. 2 ounces of naphthalene and half a bottle of alcohol. Dissolve and use daily. I'll make a note of it.
Ivan Romanovich Chepotikin takes a small notebook from his pocket, writes something down, then immediately scratches it out.
No, it doesn't matter. Captain Sarlini, as I was saying, you stick a tiny cork in a tiny bottle, pass a tiny glass tube through it, then you take a pinch of ordinary alum.
Ivan Romanovich. Dear Ivan Romanovich.
What, my darling? Light of my life.
Tell me, why am I so happy today? Like I'm sailing under a wide blue sky filled with big white birds? Why is that? Why?
Oh. Chepotikin kisses both of Irina's hands tenderly.
My white bird.
When I woke up this morning and washed, suddenly everything in the world was clear to me, and I knew how I should live. Dear Ivan Romanovich, I understand everything. A person must work hard, with effort, with sweat, no matter who we are. Work alone is the secret and meaning of life. Happiness, even ecstasy, lies in this. How delightful to be a workman who gets up when it's still dark to break stones on a road, or a shepherd, or a schoolteacher who teaches children, or an engineer driving a train. My God, what does it mean to be human without work? Better to be an ox. Better to be a simple horse driving a carriage. Better than a young woman who has her coffee in bed then spends 2 hours dressing. Oh, how wretched! As we crave water in the heat, I crave work. If I don't get up early and work hard, refuse me your friendship, Ivan Romanovich.
I will, my dove, I will.
Papa taught us to get up at 7. Now Irina wakes at 7 and lies in bed till 9 thinking. Her face is so serious.
Olga laughs.
You think of me as a child, so you're surprised when I look serious. I'm 20.
A longing for work, my God, how well I understand you. I've never worked in my life. I was born in Petersburg. Cold, idle Petersburg, to a family that knew nothing of work or worry. I remember, when I came home from military school, my valet would try to pull off my boots, but I was moving all the time, just to be difficult. Still, my mother looked at me with reverential awe. She was surprised when other people didn't. I was protected from work, but not forever, I hope. A time is coming. A thundercloud is above us. A tremendous cleansing storm is coming, is near, and will blow the laziness from our society. Indifference, prejudice against work, degenerate boredom, out! I will work. And within 25 or 30 years, everyone will work. Everyone.
I won't work.
You don't count.
In another 25 years, you won't be on this earth, thank God. In 2 or 3 years, you'll have a stroke, or I'll explode and put a bullet between your eyes, my angel.
Salioni pulls a small perfume bottle out of his pocket, then sprinkles his chest and hands with scent.
I've never really worked. Not since I left university. I haven't even read a book. Only newspapers.
Chepotikin takes another newspaper out of his pocket.
Here, I know from this newspaper that there is a person, Dobrolyubov. But what he wrote, I don't know. God knows.
A knock is heard on the floor from the room below.
There. They're calling me downstairs. I'll be back. Just a minute.
Chepotikin hurries out, combing his beard.
He's up to something.
Absolutely. He went out with a look of triumph. I bet he's gotten you a present.
Oh, no.
Yes, awful. Always something ridiculous.